All right, Garrett Sarek, NuGet for C++ developers.
Come on. Wake up. There we go. Hey, how's it going, everybody? I went to that event last night, and so I had my presentation done a few days ago, and I thought, oh, no problem. And then I went to that event last night, and I talked to a few people, and I realized, oh, this is the wrong presentation for this. I really got to redo this. So I redid this all entirely this morning. In about an hour, maybe an hour and a half, I don't know. I threw it all together, and basically because I wanted to be able to tailor a little bit more towards this crowd and hopefully keep enough time. Because they're only giving me 20 minutes, so I'm going to have to rocket through this pretty quickly. So my topic is entitled Find, Build, Share, and Use. What the heck can I tell you about NuGet for C++ in the next 20 minutes that won't get me killed? So first things first. For those of you who don't know what NuGet is, it's a package management system for .NET libraries, or it was up until very recently, which allows you to package up a library and share it with somebody else and to a common repository where people can go and grab them. And it's done wonders for the .NET ecosystem. They've all kind of fallen in line behind it, and it's all great and awesome. A lot of people will say, oh, well, what's the real definition? And basically, it's a consistent and convenient method of bundling towards together libraries, headers, resources, and stuff like that, so that users can easily find, build, share, and use them. Easy enough. And this can be thought of as discovery, publication, authoring, and consumption. These are the activities that you're going through when you actually want to go ahead and use these. That's great. Okay. So managing libraries on Windows, of course, is really hard. Now, when I talk to the .NET people about these sorts of things, it's really trivial because NuGet does this. And NuGet is like this really simple way. And it's like, well, there are only 17 variations of how a .NET library can look like. The header, there's no header files, there's no other, I mean, it's so simple, it's not even funny. But of course, this gets a lot more complex for C++, because every single library can have way too many variations, like way too many. And just for, you know, off the top of my head, we can have, you know, multiple platforms, x86, x64 ARM, configuration, release, debug, static, dynamic, LTGC, side-by-side, Windows, Store Apps, Phone, VC6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, GCC, character sets, calling conventions, and I've got a library that actually fits all of this. I've got different versions of all of this for this. And so when you start multiplying all of these out, you start coming out with hundreds, if not potentially thousands of different options. Because, of course, you know, Visual C revs the runtime with every version of the compiler, and so all of these things, they're not going to be linked perfect if you can't support all of these things. So I started thinking, well, this is something we have to do about this, and there's just too many ways to think about this, so I can't have a really simple solution. And so our solution for this has to actually support any number of arbitrary different combinations without limit. And I really mean that, without limit. I can't say, here's the things that we're going to allow you to pivot on. We can't even choose that. I started with that, and I got to about the fifth or sixth, and it's like, except now I've got, you know, I can pull another one out of my hat any single time for a library that I haven't talked about. And so the secret to success, and I just realized this in the last couple of years, the secret to success in this universe is to find somebody else to care about what you care about and make it their problem. And a better way to say that is set the building on fire, take someone else's stuff into the building with you, and then scream for help like a little baby. This will at least hopefully get them to come and care about you and do something about it because you've taken their stuff hostage. And so this is what I did with the NuGet guys. I don't work on the NuGet team. I don't even work in the same division. I actually don't even know what part of Microsoft they work for. I work in the Open Source Technology Center. I don't work on the compiler teams. I don't work in DevDev. We're a part of Windows Server, and we're really, you know, off in the corner part of Windows Server and cloud and stuff like that. So it was important that I get somebody else to care about this. And so NuGet works great for managed libraries, right? And we'll say great in the general terms. There's a lot of reasons. And if you talk to enough developers, you'll come across the bunch of them that go, argh! But we'll assume it works okay. So all signs point to yes. and so what we needed to do is we needed to basically add a couple of tiny little features to NuGet. So last fall, when I started thinking about this stuff, I said, okay, what can we have to do and what can we make this happen? Because I need to be able to bring some bits down to a particular machine, and then I need to make it so that the project that you're consuming them uses this. And so I went through a couple of different ways of handling this, and I actually got an open source community developer to actually craft out a whole solution for making this happen based on the extension SDK model that Visual Studio guys had put into Visual Studio 2012, and so he comes back and he goes, okay, here's the model, and he goes, please don't use this. This is never going to work. And so I'm like, what? So we started working and figuring out a different way. And basically it said, you know, if the only thing that NuGet could possibly do was to add in a couple of lines into the project file, like to add in a targets and a props file, I'll handle the rest somehow. And so that's what I did. And so I spent 4 months cranking out an insanely complex authoring tool. And we'll come to exactly see what I mean by insanely complex in a minute. But essentially, I went through and I figured out, you know, the pattern for being able to package all of this stuff up. No matter what it is or whatever pattern or how you've laid out your stuff or what you did on disk or anything, without making any judgments about the way you want to do it or which libraries you like to link to or what your runtime library is or what your settings are or what you are forcing down upon your consumers of your library. I said, I don't want to know about any of that. I will just support it all. And I come up with this set of PowerShell tools, and I use PowerShell because, hey, I work at Microsoft, and people here like PowerShell, and realistically, it was my actual, I'd been meaning to actually learn PowerShell one day, so I figured this was a good opportunity. And so I come up with these things, and they're based on this project called CoApp, which was a project I started a couple of years ago for building tools to help making development better, blah, blah, blah. And that's what that was. And all those darn variations. And so then the tool back basically let us take all those variations, collect them all up, and package and publish them. Yay, easy enough in Pi. And so, maybe I'll get to the demo right now, really easily here. And let's just move that away. So, a good example, let us go over here. So I have So I've got zlib here, very popular library, found in almost every piece of known software on the planet, as far as I can tell. Working in the Open Source Technology Center, my actual long-term goal wasn't even to make package management, it was to actually get things like zlib consumable on Windows easily. And so this is the canonical library we start with, because, I mean, it's everywhere. And in some cases, it's like, you know, 15 copies of it in the same piece of software that you buy. Anyway, so I've got the source code here, and we ended up doing some work to make it easier to build these things. And the first things we actually started working with was the fact that, well, wait a minute, if I want to compile this for x64, x86, you know, and I want to compile it for release debug and different linkages and all those things, Visual Studio's solution file doesn't really do that for you, and certainly not in an automated way that you can loop through all of these things. And so we basically made one little command that given this little file, which we call a build info file, basically we'll loop over a set of commands and run through that for us. And this was, you know, this is pretty trivial, and basically it just sets up the environment and calls this thing, blah, blah, blah. And we made it scale it so it'll go across multiple threads and whatnot, and it works really great, and we can actually just, you know, build the whole darn thing. And so I can literally just go invoke. And it doesn't matter whether your original project was written using Visual Studio and had MS Build scripts or whether you're NMake scripts, we can pretty much just make all that stuff kind of work together. So we just go invoke build, and it's going to grab the build info file from the local directory here, and it's just going to rocket through every single iteration it's doing. And you can see along here, on the left hand side, you can see a number there. That's the thread number that I've got in this thing. And basically, it's calling a whole bunch of copies of MS build and just rocketing through it all as fast as possible. And so this here will actually build about 48 different variants of that same library in the time that I'm talking here. And come on, go. That's because my laptop's a little slower than my desktop. Come on. There we go. Just about. All right, you're finished. Okay, so then I can go and look, and I all had to go to this output directory, so pardon my use of CMD for a moment, because I really don't... we'll look for all the lib files in output. And so there you can see all the lib files for all the different variants for all the different things. And so you can see it's all, you know, nicely formatted in all these directories. And that really doesn't matter. Even if your code didn't end up that way and you could just point to some libraries in a particular directory, no problem. And so then what we did is I actually have another thing which I call an auto package script. And this basically takes and you specify the basic metadata. And this is all ripped straight from the way that NuGet does it. They use XML, and I find XML an affront to all humanity, so I try to avoid that at all costs. And so I made my own format, which I call a property sheet, because it actually derived from CSS property sheets a long time ago, and then I just got stupid with it. Anyway, so there's a bunch of template metadata, which looks pretty easy to understand, you know, version, title, and all that stuff. And then we can come down and we can actually say what files go into this. And some of these things are easy, and you can just group these things in sets and say, oh, I got some include files or some documentation files and some source files. And in this particular case, I just kind of picked them all up and no problem. It gets a little more tricky when you actually start to want to say, oh, I have sets of files, I have some things that I want you to iterate over. And because I actually laid my stuff out cleanly on disk in a way, I could actually, basically the lines like, like this one here, it's basically saying for you know, using V100 and V110, Win32 and X64, release debug, dynamic and cdecl and standard call, multiplex all that together and basically toss all that other stuff that's in that pattern there, put it all in there. And that's how I get all 48 different versions of all that stuff in there. And then, of course, static and link time compile generation stuff is slightly different in that I don't actually have binary files or symbols to grab with that. And so I just did them separately. I could have put it all in one big loop, and it would have just yelled at me and said, hey, there's no files in this pattern. That's okay. And then, of course, the last thing I need to do is sometimes, occasionally, when you're packaging up a library, you need to tell the consuming library or the consuming project, you need to change some of the things in the settings. Like sometimes you have to have some defines and stuff like that, and some of those things might only apply under certain conditions. So in here you can see when it's dynamic, when it's ever being used in a dynamic way, it'll do one define, and when it's doing standard call, it'll do another define. And the thing that this is actually behind the scenes going to generate MS Build script. So the things you can do in MS Build, you can do directly in here, and I've just got some shortcuts in there which makes it a little simpler. And the documentation hopefully would explain more of that, but I'm running out of time, so I got to run quick. Okay, so then I can go write NuGet package zlib. And so then I can just basically generate out my little packages. And so the version that I'm showing you here today is actually the version that we currently have available, and I'm working very quickly to actually solve another little problem, which I'll come back to, which the tools will be updated in a couple more days. And so then we end up... there's our new package scripts. And so let's just, our actual package files. So let's just copy those. That's it. Our new package to, and I'm just going to copy them to a local repository. Okay. Okay, and then we'll jump back into Visual Studio quickly. And so I've got a little sample program, and literally this is just a, you know, click, make a simple little program. And I put in two lines. I put in the include there, and I put in the zlib version thing. So now, if you're not using any package management system, you have to go and A, find those darn libraries somewhere. And if you go to zlib.net, where the source code for this stuff came from, you will find no Windows binaries there. They'll point to a guy who points to a guy who has a build that he did on a version of the compiler you don't use. And so I wanted to make sure that this thing was going to work just as easy as possible. So we'll just go in here, we'll go manage NuGet packages, and we'll go to online, and we'll go to my local package resource. And so there it actually picks up my packages that I just created here. And so all I have to do is actually install the top one. The other one has the redist and has the binary spread amongst those. And then we'll close that. We'll go back over here. And in just a little bit of a moment, it will... Well, let's even build that because it'll make it quicker that it'll figure that out. So it succeeded on that, no problem. Of course, the IntelliSense thing sometimes has to catch up. Funny. It does quickly sometimes it doesn't. Anyway, so if we go from there, I can go to the other build. This one. Yay. Go into the debug directory. And so there you can see my test zlib.exe and my DLL. Now, I never had to actually set my include directory. I never had to go and change any of those project settings. I never had to actually go and add anything directly to the linker. We picked all of that stuff up from the things that the original packager, which was me, had put into the project file in the package file to begin with. So if I, of course, run my test zlib, it says, version of zlib is 1.2.8. So what happens, though, if I didn't want to make this link to the DLL? I rather wanted to use the static library. Well, I can go in here, and I can go to Mr. Project Properties. Missed that. Wrong window. Project Properties. Why is that not coming up right? Oh, there it is. So what I ended up doing is in each package that I actually generate, I actually toss a little bit of XML in there. And if you've ever looked at the extensibility stuff behind the scenes in the Visual Studio, after consuming very large quantities of tequila, it starts to make sense. And then you'll realize all the downsides for doing it. But anyway, they have a way of actually adding stuff into the properties window without actually having to write any code, although you have to write this really wigged out XML and get it in there. And so you can actually sit and change. I can pick what way I want to actually compile this for. And it pulled this information from my original auto package script that I said, I'm going to support this and this, and this and this, and this and this, and this and this. And so one of the things that I have is linkage. The other one I have is calling convention. Because zlib, oddly enough, a lot of people out there like to compile it for standard call for some reason. I'm not exactly sure why. Anyway, so that works great. And so then I can actually set that to static and go OK. And I can build that again. And I should be able to actually delete that DLL because it probably left it here. And then go test zlib. Ta-da, still works. And you'll notice no DLLs left. And at no time do the fingers leave the hand. Thank you. So now the great part is that makes it look really trivial, and consumption is great. I mean, consumption is easy, right? You can go to nuget.org, and you can actually take a look and find packages. The gallery server still needs a little bit of fine-tuning and whatnot, but if you if we go to... we can quickly just go to nuget.org. And so right now, if I go tags, I think native package is one of the ones that I've been tagging stuff with. You can actually see a bunch of the C++ and C libraries that I have in there. And what we're trying to do is we're actually trying to get this going and add more and more of these things. And a lot of the ones that I've been targeting are the ones that are used for compiling things like PHP and Python, Apache Perl, of that nature. And so you'll find an awful lot of stuff there. And some of our community members have been helping out with those. And that's great and all. But I just wanted to give you an idea of the complexity of what it looks like to actually generate some of these projects, or some of the stuff that gets included in there. And let's go into packages. And zlib. And then we will look at this. I don't know what's in here. Build. Native. And we had to adapt ourselves to the way that NuGet works a bit, too. So here's the targets file. And so this is, come on. This is basically what I am inserting. We insert one line and it references this file. And this is the kind of stuff that gets inserted into your project file. Let me just expand some of this stuff out. And basically what I've done is for every single set of conditions that you'll find, I had to go and generate, come on over. I had to go and generate a rather wordy little set of conditions. And so this is actually picking up all of these different variations and whatnot, and trying to figure out, well, which version is this for? And so it looks for static, and it looks for debug, and it tries to figure out exactly what different character or what pivot that you're trying to compile under. And I'm getting really close to running out of time. Anyway, this is really complex, and this is what actually shied just about everybody away from trying to tackle this in the first place. I talked to people in the Visual C++ team, and they said, yeah, but that's going to be way too hard. And I said, yeah, but you got to have faith. Okay, let's jump back to my list of PowerPoint here. Come on. Huzzah. Okay, so now what? So, hey, I'm lonely. Please come play with me. The trouble I have is that I am one lone developer in a very, very, very large company. And I do have a tester sometimes, but we have a really hard time getting a lot of stuff done. And so we really could use some help. And you know, I guess that's the price I pay for being an open source guy at Microsoft. A lot of people go, you do what there? And I say, well, think of it like this. It's like being a preacher in Vegas. It's the one place in the universe where I know I'm needed most. So a not so subtle plea. We sure could use help building and publishing and maintaining libraries. Oh, and you know, documentation. Hey, because I'm a dev, I don't document stuff. But more to the point, you know, if you can make it through some of our wimpy documentation and you know, you can even ping me all the time, and I love helping people. You can actually build and publish your own libraries and get them up on the nuget.org. If there's open source libraries that you like to use, you can certainly jump in and help us. You can come to our website at coapp.org, coapp.org. And so the questions, of course, that I'm going to be getting asked, and this is one of the primary motivators for changing my whole little talk to fit in less than 20 minutes and blah, blah, blah. Does this work on Linux or Mac or whatever? And the answer is, well, NuGet runs on mono, so consumption would be really, really close. The scenarios that I've targeted for was getting Visual Studio developers off their butt and actually using libraries. Authoring right now has quite a few dependencies on Windows Library, well, and PowerShell. And so that would take a little bit more work, but I don't think it's insurmountable to remove those and to switch to command line tools instead of commandlets, because I at least was smart enough to keep everything primary in the libraries and not dump it all right into the PowerShell. But I would sure need some help to make sure I didn't bugger it up. And so if you want to grab the tools right away, you can go to the coapp.org/releases page, which has a pointer to the beta bits, which is unstable, and the real bits, which are less unstable.
Mike.
Come on.
Can we get a clicker for him?
Oh.
Next guy?
There we go. And, of course, our website. And then you can also get me on Twitter.
Nice. Thank you.
20 minutes. Done it. Woo-hoo!